Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by The Isley Brothers, The Carpenters, The Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hey, this is Nicole calling from Hamilton, and I needed to let everyone know that I really proudly support Vish and Creative Control. I have for many years, I will for many more, as long as he keeps delivering these amazing interview podcasts. When you hear one of Vish's interviews, you think he's known this guest for years, they're good friends. But the truth is, he approaches every interview, whether it's sort of up-and-coming indie artists or established icons or like famous, intimidating comedians with a really deep, genuine curiosity, as though he's never met this person, and the same really warm candor, as though he's known them forever. I think it really lends to a great chat, no matter who he's talking to, and for that reason, I think you should throw Vish, like, what, $1 a month? He's got jokes. The jokes make it worth it. Support Creative Control on Patreon.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Vish's wife, and remember, when you name a dog Janet or Timothy, you are dragging humanity down just a little bit.
Tons is a fantastic rock and roll trio powered by almost 30 years of friendship and based in Toronto, Ontario. Comprised of one-time Halifax residents Chris Murphy of Sloan, Matt Murphy of the Super Friends, and Mike O'Neill of the Inbreds, Tons are set to release their wonderful second album, Duly Noted, on March 26th, 2021, via Murder Records. I recently connected with Chris, Matt, and Mike for a good chat about the band's status after Matt moved to England for a spell before returning to Toronto with his family, Chris's recent and serious health scare and how he's recovering, Mike's love of a certain album by Built to Spill and how that has impacted his singing and songwriting, the band's lyrics and musical approach on Duly Noted, puns and nostalgia, future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network, with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol, with additional support from Blackbird Music, a well-stocked record store with locations in Edmonton and Calgary and friendly staff who will happily help you source special orders for hard-to-find titles, all of which you can learn more about at blackbird.ca, and Massey Hall's concert film series live at masseyhall.com, where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free, including performances by past and even recent podcast guests like Sloan, plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 603rd episode of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Chris Murphy, Matt Murphy, and Mike O'Neill of Tons, with your host, me, Vish Khanna.
We stand united, stand as one, though I'm divided, can't be done. We stand united, we'll go on and on and on and on, on and on.
Hello, Tons, are you there? Can you hear me?
Hey, Vish, how you doing?
I'm well. Thanks for asking. It's
how are
very
you?
Lovely. I'm well. I'm well. Thanks for asking.
I already knew before I asked.
It is very nice to see you all this way, and I want to call upon each of you to speak, and I'm going to begin with Matt. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm very well. Wow, you're starting with me. Oh no. How are you? I'm great.
Too much pressure for you to just answer a simple hello?
I'm good, thank you.
It's nice to see you. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Toronto.
Nice. What's that behind you there? You got a lot of nice artwork. It's beautiful.
That's an Andrew Scott up there.
Oh, yeah.
Is Andrew Scott, this is Mitchell Weeb.
Oh, yes. Very nice. I know my podcast listeners are enjoying these visual descriptions, but no, that's lovely. It's a lovely array of art you have there, and it's, if I might say, it's just lovely to see you. So thanks for being here, Matt. Chris Murphy, are you there?
I am here. We should have each figured out a different hello from, you know, the Lionel Richie hello, the Adele hello, and the, I don't know, there's an Alice Cooper
hello. Jim Morrison hello?
Yeah.
Hello, baby.
The Big Bopper? Sure, let's get the Big Bopper in there, or whomever. Yeah.
We should do a playlist.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see you. Chris, how are you doing? I know a lot of people listening are probably who follow you and know what you've been going through are wondering. How are you feeling these days?
I'm doing very well. I have Bell's palsy, which I developed, January 10th or 11th. And now it's, you know, I don't know if I'll be completely back to normal, but I'm coming back to normal and I'm in good spirits and optimistic. And it's, you know, I'm getting acupuncture with electricity, whatever that's called, and whatever. And I think it's helping, or it's, I don't think it's hurting. Anyway, I'm on the mend and I'm feeling good.
That's great. That's great to see you and hear that. And I will say, obviously, this is scary. Are you okay like that in that regard? Are you doing okay with this? I mean, it's very frightening.
I am, and I was mostly, as I was sort of realizing I was becoming paralyzed, I didn't know what Bell's palsy was. I'd heard of it, but I was just I was nervous that my hand was going to go, or that my whole side was going to be and when I figured out that it wasn't, I was basically just relieved. You know, it's mostly a cosmetic scenario. It's not gonna, you know, I can still whatever. No, it was sort of having some pronunciation issues, which I think I still have a little bit. They say Bell's palsy is one of the cruelest things to have to say with Bell's palsy,
right?
And you sort of floppy mouth, but I'm feeling pretty understandable at this point. It's, you know, five weeks or more, 6 weeks ago.
Oh, you sound great. You sound great, and I appreciate you being well.
And I probably look great, too, but it doesn't matter.
Sorry,
let's just move on. We haven't heard from Mike.
You do look great as well, if I might say.
It's
just great to see you. And
it's a podcast, though.
Well, you look great to me. And now we move on, finally, to Mike O'Neill. Mike, are you there?
I am.
Nice to see you.
I am.
Nice to see you, Mike. Where in the world are you?
I'm in Toronto.
Right. Oh, I'm going to backtrack. Chris, are you in Toronto? I usually like to GPS everyone. Are you in Toronto?
Yes, I am.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. So we've taken care of that. Mike, how are things going for you in Toronto?
Things are going well. I mean, the only thing, I guess the quick note is that, here the band is all together in the area, but we really haven't, you know, played or practiced or written more songs or whatever. So it seems kind of like everything is set up. But mysteriously, the crew is gone, but the dinner was still steaming on the ship in the Bermuda Triangle.
It's a good analogy for what a lot of us are going through right now. Yeah, feeling a little lost, disappeared even. Yeah. Well, that's got to be weird. When's the last time Tons actually convened by your reckoning, Mike?
I don't know the exact date, but we did some overdubs for the last two songs that we worked on. One was Words and Music, I think. And so Chris and Matt came to the studio I shared with Sandro Perry at the time.
Right.
I don't know what the date of that was, but it was just sort of finishing up the last little bits.
Okay, so that's a while back now, but you did make a music video. Chris, did everyone show up at your backyard?
Yeah, that's right, I did
you guys,
see them.
No, it's okay, Mike. I'll just fact check you as we go. Chris, everyone convened in your backyard, is that right?
That's right, yeah. We made a little video in my backyard of us playing in the snow. I couldn't really think of what else we could do to make a video. The other video that
playing
we...
Playing instruments in the snow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was a lot to ask, but Matt lives really close to me, and Mike came, and our buddy, Kevin Hilliard, shot it, and he came the day before, Kevin, to set up all the lights. Like, it looked beautiful, but of course, on the day he showed up, and he's like, "Where's the remote to turn on the lights?" And I was like, "You can't, you know, I've only got these guys for, like, 2 hours basically." And then he was just in a freak out trying, he's like, I swore I left them here anyway.
But he did a great job in the end and got the remote. Everything was good.
He did do a great job, and he bends over backwards to do a good job, and he did a really good job. But it's a video for I don't know if we're, should we say, for, sorry, it's not a secret. We stand united. I don't know if we're going to, I don't want
to. The video's out.
The
video is out now. Yeah. It's been circulating for a little while. I don't think it's a secret.
Well, I just mean, I want you to be able to lead the, anyway. Yeah. It's for an undisclosed song.
No, it's for the song We Stand United.
We Stand United. That's right.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of, I saw that song on the record. That's a song of yours there, Matt, I believe. And, I saw that song on the record, and I thought about the fact that the last time I got to see Tons play live, I think it was over two consecutive nights, as a matter of fact, or days, I went to see you guys at the Horseshoe. I don't even remember what year this was. Does anyone want to buzz in with the right year?
It was 2018. It was August into September of 2018.
That's exactly right, Chris.
And it was just prior to that that Matt was living in the UK at the time. And just prior to that show, to those shows, we recorded all of the bed tracks for this record.
That's right.
In 2018.
That's right. Yeah. So, Matt, you left after that weekend, or you were already in England? You just came back for those couple of shows? Is that right?
Yeah, I came back for, other things, but those shows were a big, big part of it, yeah.
Yeah. So I wondered if Tons was done, because I didn't know you had moved. Matt, you didn't write me a letter. You didn't send me a postcard. I got nothing. These guys were like, yeah, Matt's moving to England, or he's going to move. I was like, oh, no. Well, that's why I'm going to make sure I go to the Horseshoe. And then the next day there was this festival in a field, and my son and I made our way. We watched Tons play in the afternoon sun, and then we left. We just split. I had a family function to go to. So that was monumental. Was Tons ever close, by your reckoning, Matt, was Tons ever close to being done after that weekend?
No, I don't think so. I think we'd always find a way to put music together as we have. I just don't know how much touring would have been possible if I stayed, but hopefully I was always imagining that those guys would be able to come over and to Europe and play. But as it turns out, the pandemic ruined touring for everyone anyways. So yeah, I don't think we ever also planned to stay there for forever. I was always look at it for 2 years and see where we're at.
Oh, you and your family moved to England for, I assume, work or something like that, yes?
Yeah, we took jobs over there, and we just always thought it was, we'll see where we're at after 2 years. And the reasons for coming back were more around having another child, so we just wanted to have more family support.
Yeah, well, congrats on that. Chris, I know you've long wanted to be in bands with Matt, and you finally have this killer band together, Tons. How freaked out were you when
Mike?
No, sorry, Mike. Did you always?
I can hear.
This wasn't meant to disparage you there, Mike. I just know Chris has a long history of liking Matt, wanting to play with Matt. Do you have that same yearning to play with Matt Murphy at all costs, no matter what occurs?
Me?
Yeah, you, Mike. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you.
Of course.
Okay, you've had the same yearning and longing?
I have, yeah.
But wait, can I argue with this setup? It's a weird setup. Like, I think it's true, but, yeah. Matt loves me back.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting it was unrequited. I just mean you've got tons going on and things are happening, yeah. And then Matt has to fly away. Were you freaked out that tons was done yourself, Chris? Like, did it, you or Mike?
I guess, in a word, I felt betrayed. No, whatever. People have to do what they want to do. He's got a young family, and they're just on an adventure, and they're just, we'll just come back to it. It's none of our plan A, we don't, it's hobby stuff, and that's partly what keeps it fun, We don't have to, when it becomes your plan A, as you know, or as I've probably complained to you or to everyone over the years, it gets hard, But I've got a pretty good plan A too, and whatever. I do love playing in tons, and we do things so quickly that it's kind of funny that I'm happy to have two records out in the span of 5 years, but we honestly do work so quickly that we could have had five records out in this amount of time. But it's just, Matt moved away in the pandemic and mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
But I remain, excited and optimistic about what we can do, even with the little bit of time that we'll have.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
One thing I would like to throw in there, just that I feel like is missing, is like when we made that first record, we did it, and then it was kind of like late in the game when Royal Mountain offered to carry it and put it out. And so we had been sitting on the finished recordings that were already mixed by Ian McGettigan. And then they had to be remixed, and then we had to enter this like schedule of releases at Royal Mountain. And so we just started writing songs, and it was really a fun time where we were like trying to always write better songs than the last one. And for a while, it felt like we were. Like we'd write three new songs a day that were so exciting, and it would be like, oh, these must be better than the ones we just wrote. And then we would listen to those, and they were quite good too. So there was this like this amazing period where we were writing things. I guess what I'm trying to say is we were sitting on those songs when Matt and his family made that decision to go. I guess what I'm saying is knowing that we had these great songs and having done all that work, I think made it feel like it certainly wasn't the end of anything, like that we just had to finish these up and however we were going to do it. I think at one point we were just thinking of, we just only had demos at the time, and we were thinking of how we could add a vocal layer on top of it and call it like some kind of lost album. But then fortunately what happened was Matt was able to make a commitment to come back and do some re-recording. And that's how, anyway, all I'm trying to say is that Matt moving was in the middle of an album that was already underway. That's the way I remember it. So.
Okay. So, yeah, it was sort of fortuitous in a way that, he came back, but he was able to, I don't want to, Matt, you're right here. You would come back and work on ton stuff, visit people, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I don't have the chronologies down pat as Mike does, I don't think, but I remember when I first moved to England that spring, my wife was working. And I was yet to take a job, and I was just with the baby who was like 7 or 8 months old. And my day was like the two naps that he would have a day were my time when I would work on the tons. And I got so much done. It was actually amazing. So that's where I would demoed and created any melodies that I had for the pieces we came up with and some of the lyrical ideas. So I felt like it was that period in early, I guess that was 2018, right, guys, that we really kind of made a big step forward, and we were sort of, that made us prepared to lay down the beds later that summer.
Right. So I actually did a little exercise for myself today. I have the great fortune of, I can reach out to tons and they'll maybe send me some advanced music. So I've had these songs kind of kicking around in my head for a couple months at this point. But today I actually sat down and I thought I would break down make little notes on the songs, you know, just to sort of get a delve deeper into the lyrics. And, you know, Matt, you mentioned the lyrics you were writing during nap time, which no one has ever said on the show before. During nap time, I'm going to write songs. I'm sure it does happen all the time. Do you have an overarching sense of where your mind was at in writing this batch of songs? You know, what you were contemplating?
I guess it was definitely, it was definitely around what me and my wife were doing and trying to decide what to do and comparing our lives before and after, kind of a radical change like that. So I think the lyrics do reflect, some of them anyways, Stand United, I suppose, definitely looks at our history together. And the last song, what's it called again, guys?
We're Living in It Now?
Living in It Now. That one's very much a London experience song from my lyrical perspective, yeah.
Okay. Can I just say, of Matt's lyrics, you have the other song that mentions the word that you're on a lift.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Flags for Curtains. Yeah, Flags for Curtains, yeah. I believe, is the song. And yeah. I caught that, too. I'm like, oh, now he's English.
Yeah.
English fellow. Actually, you know, I texted this to Mike there, Matt. I heard a lot of more Clash stuff coming up here and there on this record. Does that resonate with you? Do you like the band The Clash?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're familiar with, you familiar with the Super Friends, I don't know if all your listeners are.
Yeah.
But you will probably know Karate Man there's some definite nods to Complete Control by The Clash. It's always there. I don't think there was any conscious effort on my part to make sure it sounded more like The Clash.
I'm not suggesting that specifically. However, they're just like your guitar tone in a couple songs kind of reminded me of maybe more Joe Strummer than Mick Jones. And then there's a part in We Stand United where you do this kind of quick, it's like a bridge sort of thing, and it's reminding me of the part in Safe European Home. Do you know the part I mean? Joe Strummer kind of breaks away from the song. Anyway, you can listen to it later.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, there's some Clash stuff going on. Do you want to be British? Did you move to England so you could be a little more British?
I was born there.
Oh, were you? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, my wife and I, Emil, she's 13, 14 years younger than me. We're both born in the same hospital in London.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Coincidentally, yeah. In Hammersmith Hospital. So, and she lived there for, you know, till she was 4 or 5. And I left when I was just a baby. But I've always gone back and forth with my family. I always had a long family connection to London. So.
Wow. Okay. So there's a bit of a homing beacon situation going on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe
we got a British guy in the band. That was a big plus for
Platinum
us.
Blonde.
Does that help in any real capacity, Mike, to have a British fellow in the band?
I mean, I don't think about it, but knowing that a British guy is in the band helps a lot for sure.
Yeah. Mike's always like, well, wait, Matt, would the Beatles do that?
No. No, I say, like, I'm on the right side of the road, Matt. What would somebody on the left side of the road do now?
It's not because of the imperialism. That's not why you wanted a British guy in the band. Is that right, Mike? Just to clarify.
That's right. Yeah, it's like you're sticking your foot in it.
All right, I see. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Matt. Chris, sort of similar question. Your lyrics, my wife just, we were making pizza just now. It's pizza night. Have I mentioned that already?
Yep.
But it's pizza night here. And I was like, yeah, Chris's songs, like, he's normally a very personal songwriter. I feel like when I hear a Chris song, I kind of have a sense of where he's at in life. And I'm a little, these ones, like, I'm surprised by some of the themes. And she's like, oh, well, maybe he's writing a lot about just being in tons. And I was like, oh, I don't know if he might be doing that. What is your sense of, do you have an overarching sense of these songs, what they might mean?
The thing is, I'm a big fan of the band, but I just think the idea of talking about the lyrics is like talking about, like, to me, we spend all this time, you know, we make up the songs in a sort of flurry of excitement, and then we hammer them. You know, then there's the sort of slightly less exciting stage of hammering them, applying songwriting chops to make them into songs. And then there's the excruciating level of trying to put lyrics on. That's painting the trim or whatever. Like, that's the hard part, like the boring part. Hmm. You know, I don't mind talking about my lyrics. I can't even remember what they are. I think that I'm inspired by, I would say, Mike's a brevity. And not just brevity. Like it's he's also very. Whatever, I know he's here, but like he's also said, he will just offer something. You could also say this, and it's usually just a subtle change, and it's always great. And I'm comically the other way, where I'm like, you know, Chuck D, like filling like three paragraphs before you hit the chorus kind of thing. And Mike has got, you know, you look at Mike's lyrics and it's only this long, and that's all you needed. And so I was, I think, inspired to sing a little bit less, and I'm probably a little bit more vague too. I don't know, I can't remember the lyrics that I have going.
Is this are these songs newer? I mean, you're a prolific songwriter. You've been writing songs for decades. Are you pulling things out from way in the past, or are you writing fresh for tons? Like, are you going into your bag of old song ideas, so to speak?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I always thought, I've always. Having been in Sloan so long, and I always poo-pooed side projects because I didn't want Sloan to get crappy material. And part of what justified I went to be in tons and kind of felt like I was breaking my own rule. But part of me feels that I don't have to feel bad about it, because the tons songs just come out of thin air. Like, we really just press record on the voice memo and just like, let's make something up. And usually I'm trying to play a beat that I like or that I think that I can play. And then we really just start making it up on the spot. So I've yet to have to sort of dig into my cache of crappy song ideas that I have going.
Okay.
I have lots of those, but it's lyrics. That's the hard part. That's the boring part.
I do remember the first time we got together the first time we ever rehearsed together, and I was really, I don't want to say I was nervous about it. I just wanted it to work. Like, I really wanted it to work under any, you know, circumstance. So I had, like, a couple of riffs that I hadn't turned into songs. It wasn't anything that I thought was, like, really good, because I was saving that for me. But I had a couple of riffs I didn't know what to do with, you know?
Classic Mike.
And so I brought those in, and they were good riffs. And we spent time trying to turn them into songs, but they didn't go anywhere, probably because they were just like good little riffs that didn't go anywhere, and it was kind of confirmed. And then it wasn't until I feel like somehow we were able to relax, and then it started happening. And I feel like the second record is just, I feel like we're on our legs in terms of like writing together. I think that we're, what I'm trying to say is it's melting together a bit more than maybe the first record did, for me anyway, because I think I was still kind of self-conscious about being an individual in a band on the first record.
Matt, but sorry, go ahead, Chris.
Well, I don't know if we should let Matt go here, but I don't know. I've never worked this way where songs literally are formed out of thin air. Like, I also brought ideas to that first meeting, and I was kind of giddy about the fact that we were going to try and just make up stuff on the spot. I was sort of assuming that we would just be making up garbage. I've never done that before, but we had tons of ideas, and we ended up turning them into songs. So we're kind of, whatever, it was kind of just this magical thing that was happening. And then, but anyway, as Mike said, by the time we were doing it for the second record, we kind of knew that we had done it. I didn't know what the new songs would be, but I was less confused by the whole idea. I knew that, and I think that Mike is right. I think that we could do it again, or maybe we'll change the way that we'll do it next time.
It's kind of funny. Like, it sounds like it was a bit of a fractured, or at least from the outside, just given that, you know, Matt had flown away to England, you know, as we're speaking, there's a pandemic, your record's about to come out about a year later. It feels like a very fractured time for the band to really get together, find its legs together. Matt, do you have any perspective on Mike's take on it? The fact that by this batch of songs, it feels like the band is kind of coming into its own. Do you have any perspective on that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, also, we played a lot of live shows together as well, so we had a certain other kind of cohesion when we played together by then. So, and we also had a sense of how we could sound, or how these songs might sound elsewhere when we played them live. So I think that informed the way we constructed them or what we chose to work on, maybe. I can't think of specific examples. And I think it's natural. I saw just things we also probably would all know what to rule out together quicker and know what we had an easier time identifying the ones that would we should all work on. We didn't have a lot of disagreements. I think Chris feels like most of the stuff we do is great and everything could be a song. This is not a criticism by any means, but I that's exciting. I think he's probably right. It's just that, but we just have so much stuff.
I'll say the cache of songs that I was talking about earlier that I have are not as good as the ones that Tons has thrown into the garbage. I would kill for those ideas. I might end up stealing some of the Tons tossed off ideas.
Well, Chris, you deferred a little bit from my lyrics question. I appreciate that. I just wanted to say that. Like, I know it's weird to get into your songs a little bit. Wait a minute. Hold the phone here. Do you have a vinyl copy of Duly Noted by Tons already? I'd like one of those at some point.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I'll get your address after.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Duly Noted is an interesting phrase, by the way. Is there any... What's the method... what's the magic behind that title?
It's a lyric.
Nerdiest thing we could think of.
It's in the song with the word lift in it. So another sort of British... Duly Noted.
There's also a stationery store called Duly Noted in Halifax.
Oh, it is?
Really?
Okay.
Located very close to where Tons used to be.
What? So, come on.
Yeah, it's turning into a tour.
Interesting.
That is weird. There's a lot of weird, connections.
It's obviously got a double play on, double meaning, I suppose.
Duly Noted?
Not that we want to underline particularly.
Did you spend any time at the Duly Noted stationery store, Mike?
No, I didn't. I barely noticed it.
You're a puns guy, though. Do you appreciate it when a company has like a joke name or like a play on something?
Me?
You, Mike. Yeah, you don't.
I'm
like,
not a puns.
You don't like puns?
I don't like them.
Chris,
I just
you are a pun guy.
I'm sorry. I meant to say you're a tons guy.
You are on the chat, Mike.
I think I would do a lot of puns. I think I would be the pun
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, Chris is the puns
I could be
guy. Chris is
accused
like
of it the most.
Did you when you lived in Halifax was Duly Noted in operation, Chris?
I don't think so.
No. It's this new set of stores that's between. This is very boring for anybody listening, but I don't even know where it is.
Okay, but that's the worst GPS directions I've ever had.
Yeah,
All right.
I'm going to keep it a secret. No, it's probably closed already anyway, so there's no point in even saying it.
My point...
For a complete transcript.
Just contact Duly Noted. They'll print one off for you and send it away. Yeah. No, my point here is this. You say it's from the lyrics of a song. Chris, you were breaking out the record. You were going to look at your songs? Is that what you were going to do?
Yeah, I was just going to see what songs that I had to come up with the lyrics for. And by the way, when you attribute songs, a Matt song and a Mike song, we basically just had a big pile of music and then... It's like, who wants to sing this one? Now, sometimes it would be that someone would say, I have a good melody for that. Can I have that? And that's basically the way it went. We didn't really argue a lot about songs.
Yeah.
About who would get who.
No. And melodies, like there's melodies I sing that are fragments of things that Mike sung. I heard him sing over sometimes different parts of the song. Hmm. So it's a real collage of effort.
It's a collage of effort. Yeah, that is the review title. Has been written right there. A collage of effort. 9 out of 10.
That's an art store that's right by
collage of effort. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, I, Mike, I neglected to ask you the same question that I asked Matt, and Chris politely declined. The reason I'm interested in the Tons songwriting, by the way, here, Chris, is that I learned a lot the last time we got together to have a chat. At the time of the first Tons record, you said that, some of the drum beats were like other people's drum beats, from popular music or whatnot, and you were like, let's just try to play to these beats.
I did that again a little bit, but I think probably less so. I think it was not discouraged, but I think it was just like, let's just sort of like take it easy and let's just play
right,
the drums.
Right.
Properly.
Sure. Fair enough.
I think also our starting places are, I think back in the first period, we were looking for any mechanism or artifice to get us started creating.
Yeah.
So like
that's true.
Picking a drum beat that's already like figured out was a good starting place and that Mike and I could react to.
Yeah.
So in this instance, we have, like Mike was saying earlier, a bit of matured.
Well, there was also the other thing that stuck out about that last conversation was the song Lonely Life, which I had attributed to Mike because Mike sang lead on it. And then in the interview, it was revealed to me that, Chris, you actually wrote that song, which I found fascinating. You gave one up.
About me. And then he made me sing it.
No, I didn't. I think I wrote it. I think I did write the lyrics, though. But, I mean, I think the melody and all was probably figured out by you, Mike. No,
I
don't remember.
Well, we don't have to.
I did not. No. Anyway, it's very funny. It's very funny because we're talking about brevity. And I think, like, when I hear my voice recorded, it's like, but it's like on a different, it's like, what happened? It's, why is it so slow? Anyway, so Chris hands me this, I wake up with the sun and a smile on my face. And it was just sort of like, the number of words per minute is so much higher than mine. I had so much trouble. And there was like, like these kind of like jumps. And either my brain or my mouth or whatever, or just sort of like, it's offensive or something. Like I can't sing that quickly. So it took me a lot of time to get to that speed.
Right.
Which I found really interesting. Like I'm not against it and it's interesting to have done it, but it always, like when you are responsible for your phrasing and your words, it kind of is you all the way down, you know? Yeah. And then if you try to like sing a cover song, you'll notice that some of it, oh, this works out okay. And then there's this whole section, oof, you know, whatever. So,
you know, I have to put my daughter to bed every other night, and someone taught me how to play the song, is it I Can't Wait Forever? I Can't Wait Forever, not I Can Wait Forever, right? It's I Can't.
I kind of say both in the song.
That's what I thought.
Accident, so,
I got confused. So I learned the guitar and I try to sing it to my daughter. It's very, you're very hard to emulate, Mike. It's very, I mean, I'm not talented. I have no natural skill, but I try to sing like you a little bit. And you have a great gift for singing, if I might say. That comes across on this record as well.
That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah.
Here, here.
I would hand it over to two people. Like, it's like, I like the Beatles a lot. And then I heard that Built to Spill, Nothing Wrong with Love record, and that kind of taught me a lot of my, what I would call, tricks that are attributed to me. Every time I make a choice of what I'm going to sing, I realize a lot of it comes back to what he did on that record. It's if you haven't heard it, that Nothing Wrong with Love, that album is so good. So anyway, I just want to give credit where it's due. Because I find that a lot of my ideas go back to that.
I did not know that as a starting point. I appreciate that. This is all a big investigation, as you know. Me just delving into what makes tons happen.
It's the Clash, the Clash, Built to Spill, and puns.
I'm not trying to be reductive. I'm just, I find that kind of stuff interesting. Chris, we'll get back to you about the songs. I know you're still pouring over your vinyl copy there, but
I was just gonna point out visually that my memories is this long.
Yes.
And it includes all of the choruses or repeats. They're all in there, too. Like, it's really, it's three lines long.
Yes.
And it's beautiful and it's fine.
Yes. My Memories was the first single. And when we played it, I played it in the house. And my wife was like, that's it? And I was like, yeah, that's the whole thing. He's got it's very much this brevity thing we're talking about. I remember Iggy Pop said that about some of the Stooges songs. Like, he wanted to say and express as much in as few words as possible. So, Mike, you mentioned Built to Spill. I say you're kind of like the band's Iggy Pop, if I might. Does that resonate with you?
Sure. Yeah. I don't know Iggy Pop well. So, but it sounds cool what you're saying. So,
just kind of like very simple but catchy words. My Memories is a great example of this. It's a wonderful song, and I want to ask you a little bit about your songs, Mike. Do you have an overarching sense of?
I think all my songs on this record are about reaching an age where you're kind of like, I could have made choices and I'd be somewhere else. And isn't there a whole Star Trek The Next Generation episode about that, where Picard has like this alternate life in a... anybody know what I'm talking about?
I'm thinking of Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow.
That kind of happens in that too. It's just sort of like the idea. Like, I remember I was on tour with the Inbreds and we passed this city, and I looked in the city and I thought, I could have lived there, and what would I be doing there? And would I know what life could be like outside of there, a whole different life? Anyway, I had that thought, and I think I kind of saved it all these years, and then I'm just sort of in at an age right now where I'm writing songs like that. Mm. So I think many of the songs have that theme, thinking about memories and thinking about other lives and stuff like that.
When I hear you say, and Matt, I guess I saw on the Instagram that Matt also sings the chorus of I Cannot Help My Memories. But by the way, doing really well on the Instagram, if I might say. It's very enjoyable, the Tons Instagram. I don't know which one of you is...
Chris Murphy.
Oh, yeah, Mike Chris and Matt, Murphy. I recommend that you follow it. Follow Tons, man.
Chris, you're doing well on the Instagram with the murder. I should also, I don't want to go too divergent here, but the Murder Records stuff from a few months ago, you started up a Murder Records Instagram, and if that wasn't enough, you started up another one. But the first one that I was following where you put all the records up every day, that was fantastic. Congratulations on that. That was a great idea.
That was a fun time, and people chiming in, and had a virtual Local Rabbits reunion there. It was fun. And then I kind of foolishly started another Murder Records account because I wanted to keep the discography just pristine. But now nobody follows the second one. So
you said foolishly. I didn't say foolishly. You said it. Well, no, it's fine to have many Instagram accounts.
Yeah,
but it's great. And so this record, by the way, just since we're on the topic, a Murder Records release, is that correct, Chris?
Yeah, so it'll go on the Murder Records discography when it on March 26th. Yeah.
Okay, I'll like that one. I like that post. Will it go on the other one? What's the other one?
The other one is just kind of, it's a hodgepodge.
Okay.
It's just so that it can do whatever, like a funny old video of Patrick or...
Yeah, that was fun. Those have been fun. Yeah. It's really good. Matt, have you been engaging with this stuff? I was just talking to Mike about memories, reflecting upon the lives that could have been. Chris has now been delving into sort of the past with the Murder Records catalog. Do you engage with nostalgia on that level or the past on that level?
I spent a long time fighting nostalgia in my life for whatever reason.
Nostalgia machine?
Just to look forward. So I don't know. I don't look back. I don't allow myself to look back that much, to be honest. I just think about, just when it comes to music, I think more about the next thing to make. And that's where my brain is at when it comes to about music. In life, I guess there's some nostalgic things that come back. But I don't know. For some reason, somewhere along the way, I got sickened by the idea of nostalgia, and I try and not to give in to it. I don't think it's rational, but that is what I go through.
Chris just alluded to a Superfriend song off of Love Energy called Nostalgia Machine, which I believe, did you write that one?
Yeah, and I had a hand in that. Yeah.
And it seems to be cynically talking about what you're just describing, like just sort of being steeped in the past. Is that right?
Yeah, I understand it's a controversial song in Halifax. Some people have a strong distaste for it. And I get it. But it's a little on the nose, I guess.
Well, curiously, that song ends with you're going to wish you had never been born, and Mike's got these songs about being in another life. I would be this, I would be that. There's something going on there. Like, I think, as you guys know, I'm a big Tons fan, and this to me is a very a holy trinity of music for me. Like, you three together, it's really magical. And, you know, Mike describes being nervous at the first practice. Does your history get, like, I assume you put it aside, you compartmentalize it, but does it ever sort of, you know, come into your mind like, oh my God, there's so many decades of friendship here and times we spent together. Does that come through in the Tons songs per se or not? Chris, I'll let you feel this one. It's a big one. Do you feel like you're writing about Tons?
again, lyrically, I don't feel like I am. Maybe I have. I haven't. I should have thought a little bit more about it beforehand. I'm just excited to play with these heavyweights. I'm excited that, you know, everybody's grown up and has lives and plans A and families and all. And I'm just was grateful that these two guys would get together and play with me. Mm. And, you know, I can play the drums enough that I can be the drummer, and it's distilled down to it's just the three of us. Everybody can sing and everybody's great on their instrument. I'm being the weakest on mine, but I'm fine. And I feel like there's not much more we can talk about except for lyrics, but I don't think it's the most exciting part of what we do. I think the songs are really awesome. The lyrics are fine. And I think the recording...
Come on, you're selling yourself short, I think.
You're selling me short.
Yeah, you're selling Matt in particular short. He's got...
The recording is really good, too. Mike did a really good, really great job on the recording. Like, I do think the record is top-notch. I think these guys are, you know... I'm really happy at all things to do with this band.
Okay.
Whether it's posting on Instagram, to
answer your question, though, quickly... just my one note is that Back Among Friends from the first record is
that's right
exactly what you're talking about, and despite all what everything I've just said about hating nostalgia, apparently I was uncontrollable wave of nostalgia came over me, but certainly that song was very genuine, you know. Yeah. That was a very genuine, real feeling, and it wasn't maudlin in the least. So yeah.
And can really, I also briefly answer the question? What I was going to say is I have a cousin who loves Tons. His name's Jamie. And he said that when he listens to Tons that it's impossible not to be happy. Like, it gives him a feeling of joy, which was such a compliment. And it's how I feel about music that I like. And I thought to myself, but that's just a reflection of how I feel in the company of these guys too. Because, like, I always say this to people who ask, or if they don't ask, about how fun it is and, like, how much we laugh when we hang out. So, to me, that, like, and I agree with Chris, like, the lyrics, they can be about one thing and you're like, oh, this song's about this, and then you kind of follow through and you kind of do the crossword of finishing the lyrics, which is like revealing of how I do it, but it can be like that. But overall, the vibe of the song has that spirit intact, which I think is the energy and personality of these guys and myself together, you know.
Absolutely, and I would...
Well put.
It is well put. I would concur with your cousin. The joy in this band that emanates from the speakers and seeing you guys live, it's real. It's really real. Like, I don't know what to say about it. Like, I know the history, so I have an emotional connection to it. But, like, I'll tell you, my son, you know, he's presented with music all the time. He doesn't like a lot of it nowadays, but he loves Tons, and I think he gets that same feeling. It makes him happy, your music. So there's some to it. And I will also say, it gives me a lot to think about. All of you, except Matt, have been downplaying your lyrics. Matt's really proud of his. But I feel like the rest of you are
downplaying...
I'm proud
of his, too.
You're downplaying them a little bit. Like, Mike, when you say, I cannot help my memories, on the one hand, I think it just gets me thinking about it. Like, I can't help who I was. I can't help what I remember. That's a multi-layered lyric, and it's just a catchy...
I love that lyric.
Yeah, it's a catchy, infectious lyric. And, you know, we've already talked about the brevity. But, like, it gets to me. Like, I'm like, what does that mean? And Chris, similarly, like, you have very clever, witty lyrics. I think you spend time on them. And there's...
I do. I hate bad lyrics. Like, I hate finishing a song and having crappy lyrics. And I do spend the time. But it's the least fun, especially when, you know, because we were more on the first record, but we did do some writing of the lyrics together. Like, usually I'm very precious about it, but in this instance, it was like, well, try this. Okay, I'll do that. And then all of a sudden I did it and I sang it and it was done.
Yeah.
But the making of the music we do together, and that's the really kind of the romantic part. It's the sort of, you know, all of us are good at what we do, but then making the music in Tons, like, we're able to sort of make a magic thing that we wouldn't have come up with individually. That's the sort of most magic part of it for me.
Yeah.
I think probably for all of us, but I don't mean to ever speak on anyone's behalf.
Well, Mike, you were about to speak, and do you have something to say?
I'd rather
I was just
going to
say, like, with my lyric writing, I'll keep it short. It's like if I can find a phrase that goes with the music that cannot be separated from the music after I come up with it, then it's really good. And then it's like if I – and then I just build the song out from that phrase. And so I don't think that I set out to – like I don't set out to say something with a song. Mm. I just set out to fill out this one thing that fits very, very well. And that's how I keep getting these really, really brief songs because I want to stick to – the how effective that one line that I came up with was, you know? And I remember with I Can't Help My Memories, at one point when Matt was doing backup, he said, is it I Can't Help Remembering? And I was like, oh, that's what I should have said. I should have said that. Now I'm going to have to redo the whole, you know, thing. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, I Can't Help My Memories is kind of like it means more than one thing. So I'll stick with that because that's always the better route to go if you don't know exactly, you know what I mean? Like there's more interpretation. Anyway, that's as much as I'll talk about it. But.
No, it's, I do, I imagine, I don't know, Matt, if you have any perspective on this. Chris is talking about the drudgery of writing lyrics. It seems to me you get together.
It is drudgery.
Well, except when there's nap time. And then you can write lyrics. It's really fun. You got something to kill the time.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I imagine part of it, I'm guessing here, but you get together to play music. It's fun. You're together. And then you scuttle off in isolation to come up with some words. And then you have to bring these personal things back to the group and be like, I wonder if they're going to like them. That's a lot of pressure, I'm guessing, too. Is that, what do you think of that, Matt? What do you think of my theory there, Matt?
The theory that there's pressure in showing people your lyrics?
Yeah, that's my theory.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as easy as suggesting a chord progression.
Right.
Which can easily be dismissed. I don't know. You know, you say, oh, how about this then? But it's like lyrics. It's like, I don't know. It's like, okay, see, give me 2 weeks. I'll come back with something new. You know? It's
these
a little
my,
bit more riding on it. So there's, it's just, you know, and it is, like you say, you're opening yourself up to being judged as a human in a way.
Your feelings,
like,
your thoughts.
Yeah, you're like, and if you know, if the lyrics aren't good, maybe you're being too closed off. I don't know.
Right.
But also, I don't think we're not overly critical of each other's lyrics either. We sort of let people do what they want to do. And if there's things they can do to subtly help and add, they do. So there's lots of good lines that these guys have given me on the new album for sure to help me finish my lyrics, which is great.
Yeah, well, I don't mean to dwell on we've dwelt on the topic of lyrics, even though I don't think it's a favorite thing. But I will say I just want to point them out because I think they're very special. A special part of the band for me is all of you are fantastic singers. It's great to hear you working together. I know I gave Mike all the singing chops compliments earlier, but it's a lovely amalgam, as you know. And I think the whole package is great. So I'm not ignoring the lyrics. No matter what Chris says, great lyrics. Good job. I appreciate this band. What is sort of next in the pandemic? I mean, there's a pandemic, so this question is always tricky. But Matt, you've been in Toronto for quite some time now. So, but Mike, you also say you can't get together that much. Chris, what is kind of coming up for Tons, given the predicament we're all in and just in terms of what the band has been up to, so to speak?
Well, we have a record coming out March 26th, and, you know, there's not much we can do. I'm considering, you know, we're just going to sell it online. I'm considering selling it out of my garage that day or something for fun for people who live in the GTA that I won't have to spend $15 ordering something from Scarborough.
Right.
But I don't know if I will. Like, if the weather is good, I'll probably do that.
Oh, that's cool.
Other than that, like, I don't really know. You know, we talked about doing another video, but, you know, these videos are getting like 1,000 views. I don't know if it's worth doing another one, but I'm happy to have them because we can't really tour, so it's just something to promote. And it's fun, you know, just get together for an hour or two and just shoot something silly. And
okay,
I'll edit it. I would love to play shows or do a live broadcast or whatever, but you know, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, that is the bummer part of this. Mike, you engineered this record. I assume you did a lot of thinking about these songs. Is there anything that didn't make the record that was recorded, that was attempted?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of songs that spring to mind right away. There's one that Chris like could probably finish pretty quickly.
Oh,
there's one that's done, it has lyrics, but it was just I just found it was so high. It's in B, and I needed to be in G. I basically needed to be re-recorded. That one that we were calling Dionne Warwick.
You were calling a song Dionne Warwick? She's all the rage right now. You know, she's like big on the socials. Yeah, she's like, she's taken over Twitter, where they're like, Matt, you follow the Twitter. Did you know about Dionne Warwick?
I'm familiar with this.
Yeah. She's like folksy and like doesn't understand it, but it's actually really entertaining. So that's weird.
Yeah.
You've had this song about Dionne. Is it just because, why is it called Dionne Warwick?
I think it was just the melodic phrase or something.
Oh, okay.
Or the chords, yeah. But sorry, I interrupted my...
Sorry, and there was another song that that I think that we just referred to as like Booker T and the MGs. And it's cool, but like when you started trying to sing over it, it was like really dorky. Like I couldn't think of anything that didn't sound incredibly dorky. I couldn't anyway. And that is one thing that I feel like we do to ourselves. Like the one thing I wanted to say before is, like, remember, there's lots of bands that have a person who is the lyricist, and often it's the singer or whatever, but maybe they don't have as much trouble coming up with the words, or they do them faster at the time, I'm not sure. But I think with Chris, Matt, and I, from what I've seen, we all kind of, like, have no trouble coming up with melodies and chords. Like, it's very easy for us. And then just sort of to finish the lyrics. And I'm not embarrassed about anything that we do. It's just, it's the harder part, that's all. And it's the part where you are putting yourself a little bit more maybe on the line or something.
Yeah.
But all I was going to say was, what we would do is, we'd write these songs and play them instrumentally, and they'd be quite thick with all these ideas. But then we would get copies of them and write lyrics on top of those things. Like, I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes we didn't even know what the melody that we were going to sing over the song was going to be when we took them away. And I think that's interesting because I'm kind of excited about a new phase of Tons where we force ourselves to kind of like maybe finish the lyrics faster or, you know, in the beginning and then kind of do arrangements around those. I think that would be something a little bit different than what we're doing. But that, you know, we would have to be patient because it takes us a while to get it the way we want it. So anyway, that was a sprawling, I don't even know what the point of my...
No, I just wondered if there was another batch of songs. It sounds like you've had a couple leftovers. Matt, I assume there have been more nap times. Have you been writing at all?
No, I haven't done anything. No, okay. I haven't written a scratch in months. No.
Are you the opposite? Is it sort of the opposite of what Mike's saying? Do you need beds to be done? Do you need music to work off of to write lyrics?
Yeah, typically. I mean, I mean, there are ideas that I have that I might jot down. Yeah.
He needs the studio to be booked the following day.
Exactly. I need a hard, an artificial deadline.
Right,
to be imposed on me. That's true of everything.
Yeah. Well, no, it's good. I'm glad this is all coming together. Chris, if people want to learn more about Tons, where should they go? We mentioned the Instagram, which is what? Just Tons?
At Tons Band. I think that's the same on Facebook, where I don't really give any... it's basically just Instagram attachments. And what else do I do? That's basically
there's the band, the band camp as well, right?
We have Duly Noted is available. It's for pre-order on Bandcamp. That's just digital only, and we're going to sell the record not through Bandcamp, the vinyl rather. It'll come through a different website page, like a sell page or whatever that's not together yet. And I think we're tonsband.com. I think you can just look us up, tons.com or whatever, tonsband.
Yeah, for those listening, I've linked all of this stuff in the podcast posting and all that, so please check out Tons. I want to go out on a song from the new record. which, Chris, as you mentioned, it's out March 26th. There's been a couple of singles so far, My Memories, We Stand United. Is there a song you want to, one of you, I'm going to go to Mike. Mike, do you want to pick a song to go out on, or do you want to defer to someone else? You look scared.
Yeah, I'd rather defer to somebody else.
Well, okay. I'll do it. I was going to say In Another Life. I like that one because Mike sings the first bit, then Matt sings the second bit, and I do sing the third bit with Mike. It's kind of a showcases everybody a little bit.
Yeah.
Nice. Mike, you okay with that? Do you want to add anything?
That's good. I'm glad.
I think we...
Which song?
In Another Life.
Oh, yeah.
You okay with that, Matt?
Yeah, very
it's
much
a good,
so.
Great song. I think we talked about it already. Do you want to say anything more about it, Mike, or should we just play it?
Oh, no, just play it. Well, look at that. That looks great.
Look at this cute record.
Look, it's beautiful. Has anyone else in the band seen this or obtained a copy?
I haven't seen it yet. Just Chris sent pictures.
That's the most I've seen of it.
Oh, look at that.
Side one has a target. Side two has two dice.
Oh, yeah. Very good. Very, very good.
It's lovely.
Great.
These great drawings that Mike did.
Is this a Murphy Design layout, though?
Murphy Design, yeah.
Murphy Design. Okay, very good. Yeah. All right, let's go out on some music by Tons. This is In Another Life from their beautiful new record, Duly Noted. Matt, Mike, Chris, thank you so much for this time. I hope you enjoyed it, and best of luck in the future.
Thank you, Vish.
Goodbye, Vish. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, that was really meaningful for me, I'll tell you that much. Thanks again to Tons, Chris, Matt, Mike, all of you, for appearing on this, the 603rd episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and is available wherever you get your podcasts. If you can't find an episode that you've heard about, you're looking for it, you don't know where it is, or if you want to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter, please visit my website, vishkana.com. You can also like Creative Control on Facebook, follow the show on Twitter at Vish Creative, or follow me directly on Twitter and on Instagram at Vish Khanna. Visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to keep this show going. A reminder that $6 or more a month grants you access to exclusive content, archive video, audio, whatever I can find that I think might be interesting to you. Again, $6 or more gets you access to that stuff. And also, if you're interested in receiving a Creative Control t-shirt, please message me on Patreon and I'll get you one while supplies last. Thanks again to the fine Alberta record retailer Blackbird Music, which you can learn more about and place special orders at blackbird.ca. Maybe you want to order Duly Noted by Tons and you live in Calgary or Edmonton or elsewhere. I think they might. I don't know if they mail stuff. I shouldn't say that. But anyway, Calgary, Edmonton, Alberta, go to blackbird.ca, order that Tons record. Also want to thank Live at MasseyHall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by great Canadian artists like Sloan. Chris from Tons is in Sloan. You could watch that. Also want to thank Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton for their in-kind support for this show. As always, thanks to my friend Jim Guthrie for letting me use some music of his on the show. You can learn more about Jim and all of his work at jimguthrie.org. And finally, thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode with Tons. I hope you enjoyed it. If you don't know Tons, they're great. Great, great people. I love their music. If you do know Tons and you know the show, thanks for your continued support and for subscribing to the podcast and maybe telling your friends to check it out. Maybe they'll want to listen to it regularly and subscribe to it. Just spreading the word about the show is meaningful, so thank you for even contemplating doing that. And that's all I have for now. I really appreciate you for listening, and I hope you're doing well, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.